From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas based on the famous theatrical books begun by the late Burns Mantle, now edited by the distinguished drama critic of the New York Daily News, John Chapman. Mr. Chapman.
Our play of this evening is Biography. Our playwright is S.M. Behrman, whom friends call Sam. I'll stick my neck out and say that Sam is the best living American writer of what some people call sophisticated comedy. I'd rather call it the comedy of wit and literary skill. Behrman has been writing plays and brilliant movies, too, for a long time. His first success was The Second Man, which he wrote for the rising young acting couple Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne. His most recent success is Jane, which is one of the 10 best plays in the new Best Plays volume. Jane is touring the country this season. Biography was written in 1932, and it starred Ina Clare as Marion, a fashionable and friendly painter of portraits who was persuaded by a young editor to write the story of her life. Our Marion this evening will be Fay Emerson, than whom there is nobody more fashionable. And her editor will be Donald Buca. The time is now. The place, New York. The tall, skylighted studio living room of an apartment in Manhattan's West 57th Street. The tenant of the apartment is the internationally famous portrait painter Marion Froude. But at the moment, it is occupied only by the maid, Minnie, and an angry young man.
What time did Miss Froude go out?
About 2 o'clock.
Well, it's nearly 5 now. She should be home, shouldn't she?
She said she was coming home to tea. And that is all I know.
Yes, she invited me to tea at 4:30 sharp.
So?
Well, where did she go to lunch?
I do not know. Any more questions?
No, I see there's no point in asking you questions.
Then why do you ask them?
Now, look here, I...
Excuse, I answer the door.
Schöne Minnie.
Schöne Minnie. I have said that will come to New York. Come in, come in.
And there's our Marion. Not home yet, eh, Minnie? Where is she?
I've been asking the same question for over half an hour.
Yeah. Er hat alle 5 Minuten gefragt, wo sie ist. Excuse, I must make ready the tea.
There, young man. You've offended Minnie. I can see that.
No, that's just too bad.
We all tremble before Minnie. Oh, excuse. You are a friend of Miss Froude's?
Not at all.
That, at least, is no cause for pride.
You just don't happen to be, that's all.
I commiserate you.
Don't trouble yourself. I despise gallantry.
And I thought you Americans were so sentimental.
And together with other forms of glibness, I loathe generalization.
Young man, we have a great deal in common.
Also, there is a faint flavor of condescension in the way you say young man.
Good for Marion.
Why do you say that?
She always had a knack for picking originals.
She didn't pick me. I picked her.
So?
I wrote her a letter, a business letter.
Ah.
She answered and gave me an appointment at 4:30. It is now after 5. She has taken half an hour out of my life.
It is extraordinary. Ever since I've known Marion Froude, there's always been someone waiting for her.
My presence here is a favor to her and likely to bring her a handsome profit.
Profit, ah? That accounts for her being late.
You despise profit, I suppose. Very commendably old world of you.
Young man, when I was your age, I too was root on principle to make an impression. When it is no longer necessary for you to wait around for people in order to do them favors, you will mellow down, I assure you.
You think so, do you? Well, if I'm rude now, when I'm successful, I'll be murderous.
More power to you. But I've never seen it happen yet. Success is a great muffler.
Say, don't I know you from somewhere?
I don't think so. I've only just arrived in America.
Still, I've seen you somewhere.
Maybe you have seen Miss Foote's portrait of me.
Yes. Yes, maybe that's it. May I ask you...
Certainly. My name is Fedak.
The composer?
Yes.
I thought he was dead.
That is true, but I hope you won't tell anyone, for I am his ghost.
Say, now I remember. I read in the paper. You're on your way to Hollywood.
Yes, that is so.
I didn't see your operetta when it was done in New York. I didn't have the price. It was very badly done, though, I heard.
You refer to Danubio?
Yes.
I did not write that.
But I thought
you said... I'm a composer, yes, but you have me confused with my brother, Victor Fedak. You were right in thinking he was dead. You are the first person I've met in New York who even suspected it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
But why?
Oh, hello there. I'm so sorry I kept you waiting.
Don't give it a second thought, Miss Flood.
Oh, but I am. Fady!
Hello, Marion.
Oh, Fady, Fady. I've been trying everywhere to reach you. I can't believe it. Fady, darling.
Is this how you keep a business appointment, Miss Flood?
Oh, if I'd only... Oh, I'm so sorry.
Kurt. Richard Kurt.
Oh, of course, Mr. Kurt. Oh, I wonder, could you pass... I mean, would it be too much trouble if... Well, could you come back a little later on?
This young man is here on business, Marion. That is more important than me. I will come back.
No, 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 Fady, no. Well, I'm sure Mr. Kurt will understand. Mr. Fadek is an old friend whom I haven't seen in, well, ever so long. And it isn't as if Mr. Kurt were a regular businessman, Fady, dear.
How do you know he isn't?
Oh, I can tell he... He's not a bit like his letter. Well, I'm sure whatever the business is, it can wait a half an hour anyway.
Hmm? All right. I'll be back in 30 minutes. That's an hour and 10 minutes you've taken out of my life.
Ah, what a singular young man.
What you call here a professional tough guy, I think.
Come on, let's sit down, Fady.
Marion, my dear, you look simply marvelous.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is nice. And how do things go with you, Marion?
Oh, not very well professionally, I'm afraid. I've been back in New York 2 weeks, and, well, everyone's been charming, but so far no commissions. And gosh, how I need one.
I'm surprised. I gathered you'd been one of the most successful portrait painters.
Well, it's always sounded like it, hasn't it? But I think the impression is due to the extreme notoriety of some of my sitters. Kings and dictators and tycoons. But what about you? Let's hear about you.
Well, things went from bad to worse in Vienna, as you know. Then in Paris, I managed to get several scores to do, but they were not up to my usual standard, except that they were failures.
Oh, fine.
About a month ago, I reached the end of my rope, hopelessly in debt, no way out, when the miracle happened.
I can't bear it.
It was my agent on the phone. A Hollywood producer was in town and wanted to see me.
Oh, how glorious.
But wait. It was a case of mistaken identity. He didn't know my brother was dead. He thought I was Victor.
Well, what happened?
Well, first I had the impulse to tell the truth. But noble impulses are luxury impulses. I couldn't afford them, so I kept quiet. And tonight they are giving me a dinner at the Waldorf Astoria to meet my brother. Oh. That's rather ironic, if you like, eh, Marion?
Oh, but how it would have amused Victor. And the funniest thing is, you know... You'll be much better for them in Hollywood than he would have been. Don't you see that?
Marion, I've been so guilty over this thing, and now you make it all right. Ach, my liebes Kind, come. Come out there with me.
Oh, I'd love to, Fady, but I can't.
Oh, I wish you would come. I never feel life so warm and so good as when you are in the neighborhood.
Dear Fady, you're very comforting.
Is there someone that keeps you here?
Oh, no. No, there's no one now. I'm quite alone.
Well, then...
Oh, no, this isn't the moment for me, Fady. And besides, I can't afford the journey. I'm terribly broke at the moment.
Well, look here, Marion, I have...
No, no, that's sweet of you, but I couldn't.
But why?
Oh, I don't know. Vanity, a kind of vanity. I've always had, well, sort of a pride in maneuvering on my own. And besides, I have a business proposition on.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. That young man who was just here. Oh, dear, do you suppose he won't come back? Now that I think of it, I was a bit short with him, wasn't I?
He will be back. They always come back for you, Marion.
Oh, that's not true, Fady, but you're a darling to say it. On second thought, I rather hope he won't come back.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's just a feeling I have.
Fate?
Fate, Fady. Fate. Quarter of six. What can be keeping him, Minnie?
Better he stays away.
But he wanted to talk about money. And Minnie, we need money.
I don't worry.
Oh, there he is. Now let him in, Minnie. Oh, and Minnie, be polite.
Yeah.
Is this Miss Froude's apartment?
Who is calling, please?
Tell her an old friend. I want to surprise her.
I'm sorry, but I will have to...
Who is it, Minnie? I just happened to remember...
Marion, little Marion Froude.
Oh, do I know you?
You certainly do.
Oh, well, won't you come in? No, no, it's all right, Minnie. Well, please sit down, Mr.
Marion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you perfectly well. It's just that... Well, give me some hint, will you?
Think of home. Think of Tennessee.
Oh.
Little Marion Froude.
No. Oh, no.
Well, it's about time.
But, well, you were...
Well, and so were you.
Oh, but, Bunny, you are Bunny Nolan, are you? Bunny, dear, how important you've become.
Well, I haven't done badly, no.
Well, you should have warned me. It's not fair of you, Bunny. Well, of all people, I can scarcely believe it. You look so monumental, a senator or something like that.
That's a good omen.
Good omen?
You're saying I look like a senator. I don't want to be premature, but in a few months I may be one.
A senator?
Washington, not Nashville.
Oh. Well, do you want to be a senator, or can't you help it?
What do you mean?
I'll paint you, Bunny. Toga, ferule, tribune of the people.
Not a bad idea.
Imagine, Senator Nolan. Well, well. How long has it been since we've seen each other? Oh, 12 years anyway. More than that, 15?
Oh, it's just about. Hadn't even begun to practice law yet.
Just kids. Yeah. Children. And now look at you. Oh, I can see how successful you are, Bunny.
How?
Well, white piping on your vest. That suggests directorates to me. Multiple control, vertical corporations. Are you vertical or horizontal, Bunny?
I'm both.
Good for you. Married?
Not yet.
Well, how did you escape? Ah, you're going to be, though.
I'm engaged.
Well, who's the lucky girl?
Slade Kennicott, daughter of Orrin Kennicott.
Orrin Kennicott, the newspaper publisher?
Yes, he's backing me for the Senate.
Well, if he's backing you, you ought to get in. Well, not that you really need him. Anyway, you can be sure of the women's votes.
How's that?
Oh, so handsome, so distinguished.
Oh, now, please.
You're fast. How charming of you. Oh, Bunny, I'm very proud of you, really.
I've always been ambitious, Marion. You know that. You shared all my early hopes and dreams.
Well, of course I did. And I'm not a bit surprised you're going in the Senate. Well, you may even go higher. The White House.
Well, I never let myself think of that.
Well, why? It's no more wonderful than what's already happened, is it?
Destiny.
Destiny, Bunny. Exactly.
And you, my dear?
Oh, as you see, obscure, uncertain, alone, nowhere at all. Oh, Bunny, after you get to Washington, will you introduce me to some senators?
Well, now, that's premature. Naturally, if the people should favor me, I'd do what I could.
Oh, you're a dear. You always were.
Little Marion Froude. I can't believe it somehow.
Well, what did you expect to see? A whited sepulcher?
Well, naturally, after what I'd heard, I...
What have you heard? Oh, tell me, Bunny.
Well, I mean about your life.
Racy, Bunny? Racy?
No use going into that. You chose your own way. Everybody has to live their own life, I guess.
I detect an overtone, faint but unmistakable, of moral censure.
I suppose it's impossible to live one's life in art without, well, without doing the things that you've done.
Oh, dear me, Bunny. What shall I do? Shall I blush? Shall I hang my head in shame? I didn't know the news had gotten around so widely.
Well, so many of them have been famous men.
Well, you were obscure. Oh, but you're famous now, aren't you? Well, I seem to be stimulating, if nothing else.
If I'd been famous then, you probably wouldn't have walked out on me last minute the way you did.
Bunny.
I wish you wouldn't call me Bunny.
Well, I always did. What is your real name?
You know perfectly well.
I swear I don't.
My name's Leanne.
Oh, Bunny, really?
That's my name.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. Leander. He did something in the Hellespont, didn't he? What did he do in the Hellespont?
Beside the point.
Sorry. You say you wanted to tell me something?
Yes.
Oh, I love to be told things.
Marion? Marion, that night that you left me...
Oh, we'd quarreled about something, hadn't we?
I plunged into work. I worked fiercely to forget you. And yet...
And yet?
It left something bitter in my mind. Something...
Unresolved?
Yes. All these years, I wanted to see you to get it off my mind.
Did you... You want the last word, Bunny dear?
I wanted to see you to stand before you. To tell myself, well, here she is, and what of it?
Well, can you?
Yes.
Good for you, Bunny. I know just how you feel. It's like having a tooth out, isn't it?
You're evil, Marion. You haven't the face of evil, but you're evil.
Oh, Bunny, darling. Now, you can't mean that, surely. You know perfectly well I'm not evil. Casual, maybe, but not evil. Well, good heavens, Bunny, I might as well say that you're evil because you're intolerant. These are differences in temperament, that's all. Charming differences in temperament.
That's sophistry.
Well, come on, let's be more friendly. Let's have a cup of tea, huh? Will your constituents mind if you have a cup of tea with a notorious woman?
Well, Marion, I...
Will they have to know?
Well, I'm afraid I can't, Marion. I have to be getting on.
Oh, stay and have some tea. Oh, Minnie! Minnie!
Yeah, Fräulein?
Bitte! Tea!
Yeah, I made it already.
There now, you see how easy it is?
Marion.
Yes, Bunny.
About the painting.
Oh, I was only joking. Don't let yourself be bullied into it.
I've never been done in oils. It might do for campaign purposes. And if I should be elected, it would be very helpful to you in Washington.
Well, I might try. Yes, I will try. I'll make you look like Warren G. Harding. Clinch those women's votes. Oh, you're a darling. I must kiss you for it.
Why, Marion, I...
It's just a rush of feeling, dear. Oh, I'll get it, Minnie.
Marion.
Yes, Bunny.
Would you mind, in front of strangers, not to call me Bunny?
Oh, of course. Oh, what is it, Bunny?
Leander.
Coming! Leander, Hellespont, Leander, hero and...
Well, Miss Froude?
Oh, you did come back. How nice. Do come in, Mr...
Kurt.
Oh.
With a K.
Well, I'll try to remember. Oh, this is Senator Nolan, Mr. Kurt.
I am not Senator Nolan.
Well, but you will be. Can't I just call you that between ourselves? It gives me such a quiet sense of power.
Here's the tea, Fräulein. Where shall I put it?
Oh, right here, Minnie. Oh, did you bring an extra cup for Mr. Kurt?
Yeah.
Well, that'll be all, Minnie. You will have a cup, Mr. Kurt.
I am not impressed by politicians, and I did not come here to drink tea. I am here on business.
Well, you can do both. They do in England. American businessmen are so tense. Tea, Bunny?
I am not tense, and I am not a businessman.
Well, whatever you are, you're very ill-mannered.
Well, that's true, Senator.
I am not a senator.
Oh, isn't it nice you agree? You know, for a moment, I thought you weren't going to hit it off.
In my day, if a boy came in and behaved like this before a lady, he'd be horsewhipped.
Well, when you get into the Senate, you can introduce a horsewhipping bill. Probably bring you great acclaim.
You talk like a communist.
And you talk like a senator.
Oh, dear.
Miss Froude. You granted me an interview at 4:30. It is now after 6. I have lost an hour in which I might have read a first-class book or made love to a girl or had an idea. An irreparable hour. Now, will you see me alone or will you keep me here fencing with this inadequate antagonist?
You are unquestionably the most impossible young man I've ever met. Now go away.
Right. So long, Senator. So long, Miss Froude.
Young man...
Well,
Mr. Nolan is an old friend of mine, and I'd consult him in any case about whatever business you suggest. Can't you speak in front of him?
No, I'm very sorry, but I can't.
Oh, but please, wait 1 minute.
All right, 1 minute. 60 seconds.
After all, Bunny, I can't afford to... Perhaps you had better.
I'm not sure it's safe to leave you alone with a character like that.
Oh, nonsense. Millie's in her room with a bow and arrow.
Well, I have to go in any case. I have to meet Oren and Slade.
Oren? Oh, yes, your fiancé and her father. Yes, you'd better rush, dear. Are you in the book? I'll telephone you.
No, you better not. I shall communicate with you. Good night.
Oh.
Good night, Sir Galahad.
Well, I'm afraid you didn't make a very good impression on him.
Well, that's just too bad.
Well, now, that's no young way for a young man to get on in the world. He's a very important person.
That's what passes for importance. Stuffed shirt, flatulent and pompous. You aren't taken in by him, are you?
Well, as a matter of fact, he's a very nice man. Simple and kindly.
I bet he isn't simple and I bet he isn't kindly. I bet he's greedy and vicious.
Oh, really? That's...
Anyway, he's a hypocrite. When a man starts worrying out loud about unprotected women, you can be sure he's a hypocritical sensualist.
You're a violent young man, aren't you?
You're one of those tolerant people, aren't you? See the best in people?
You say that as if tolerance were a crime.
Your kind is. It's criminal because it encourages dishonesty, incompetence, weakness, and all kinds of knavery. What you call tolerance, I call sloppy laziness.
Oh, you are a fanatical young man.
Having said what you think, you dispose of me. Well, so be it. Now, let's get down to business.
You are also a little patronizing.
Thank you, Miss Froud. I am the editor of a magazine called Every Week. You know it?
I think I've seen it on the newsstands.
Well, I want you to write your biography, to run serially in Every Week. Later, of course, you can bring it out as a book.
My biography?
Yes. The story of your life.
I know the meaning of the word.
The money's pretty good. I'm prepared to give you an advance of $2,000.
Oh, but I'm not a writer. I wouldn't know how to begin.
Well, you were born, weren't you? Begin with that.
Oh, my friends tell me I write pleasant letters, but... Look here, why should you want this story from me? I'm not a first-rate artist, you know. Not by far. I'm just clever.
It's not you. It's the celebrities you've painted.
You're a brutal young man. I rather like you.
I feel there's a great story in you.
You make me sound like an institution. Oh, you won't do anything lurid, will you?
Just print the story. Practically, as you write it.
Oh, I'm scared.
Nonsense. Here's your first check, $2,000.
Oh!
We'll announce it next month. First installment the following month, okay?
Oh, but I can't promise a thing like that.
Why not?
Well, it'll worry me too much.
Well, don't promise then. Just get to work.
But what do I do first?
Well, if I were you, I'd sit down.
Oh.
Right here at the desk.
Uh-huh.
Here's a sheet of paper.
Yes.
Here's a pencil. There now. You're all set.
Well, how can I go out to dinner? Well, how can I ever do anything with a chapter to write?
Well, after all, you don't have to think up anything. Just tell what happened to you.
Can I use names?
When they're famous, yes. The others you can fake if you want to.
Oh. What's your name?
I told you. My name is Kurt.
I know, with a K, but what's your name?
Richard.
Oh. Oh, I tell you, Dickie, when I think of the funny men I've known, well, they're pretty nearly all brothers under the skin, Dickie.
Well, that's an angle.
Oh, Dickie, I think it'll be marvelous. And imagine I'm going to be paid for it. Dickie, you're an angel.
That's me, Angel Kurt. Well, so long.
But you can't leave me like this, Dickie.
Like what?
Alone with my life.
Maybe it's time you got a good, straight, clear-eyed look at it. Alone. Without anybody around to hold your hand.
Oh, I think it'd worry me. And besides this... Well, there's something about it. I don't know.
What?
Well, vulgar. Everybody writing his autobiography. Who cares?
Well, wrong hunch. Sorry to have taken up your valuable time.
Now, what do you mean?
I was mistaken, that's all. In your desire to escape vulgarity, you would probably be thin. You might even achieve refinement. I'm not interested.
You're insufferable.
And you're a false alarm.
Congratulations. You've brought me to the verge of losing my temper. But I'll tell you this. My story won't be thin and episodic because my life hasn't been thin and episodic. And I'm going to write the damn thing just to show you. And I'm starting right now. Chapter 1, I Am Born.
Good. I'll be running along.
Huh? Oh, come in tomorrow afternoon for a cocktail.
Whose memoirs are these going to be, yours or mine?
Well, you're an editor, aren't you? Come in and edit.
All right, I'll come. But if you aren't here, I'll go away and won't wait a minute. So long.
What an extraordinary young man.
Excuse, Marion, you want I should clear away the tea things?
I am born.
Us?
I am born. I meet Richard Kurt. Well, Minnie, here I have the outline. I am born. I meet Richard Kurt. Now all I have to do is fill in between.
Yeah?
Oh, fix something light, will you, Minnie? I'm not going out.
You are having someone in?
No, Minnie. I'm spending the evening alone with my life.
In a moment, we will return with Act Two of Biography starring Fay Emerson on Best Plays. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Act Two of the Best Plays production of Biography starring Fay Emerson and your host, John Chapman.
Three weeks have passed since Richard Kurt, editor of Every Week magazine, persuaded Marion Froude to write the story of her life. It is also 3 weeks since Leander Nolan, her childhood sweetheart, persuaded her to paint his portrait for his forthcoming campaign for the U.S. Senate. At the moment, she is enjoying a rare instant's relaxation in the company of Fedak, her old friend from pre-war Vienna.
Well, my dear, which career do I interrupt, the writer or the artist?
I honestly don't know, Fady. While I'm painting, I think of funny things to write, funny phrases. It won't be a serious biography, thank goodness. But I don't want it to be trivial either.
I think you escaped that, Marion.
Well, my friendships haven't been trivial, have they?
No, they haven't. Have you seen that bombastic young editor lately?
Oh, he comes in every once in a while to see how I'm getting on. He's quite insulting. But underneath his arrogance, I suspect he's very uncertain.
Oh, now don't tell me he has an inferiority complex.
Well, I think he has.
I think you make excuses for him.
Well, perhaps I do this. There's a kind of honesty about him I like.
Oh.
Nothing like that, Fady. I don't mind telling you I like him very much, but...
I think he is destined to...
Oh, no. He's not interested. His passions are all reserved for advancing his own ideas of justice.
A fanatic.
Unassailable. But I'm optimistic. Life is so much more resourceful and resilient than oneself, isn't it?
How beautifully you put such things.
You know, Fady, 3 weeks ago I felt tired. It troubled me. But now I feel myself suddenly, doing Leander on canvas and myself on paper. New vista. Very exciting.
All this enthusiasm for art and literature alone.
Of course. Now, Fady, what did you think?
I don't believe it.
No. No, writing's biography has done wonders for me. Writing enforces silence and solitude on one. I've always lived in such a rush.
Well, the doorbell still seems to be ringing. Shall I answer it?
Well, Minnie's doing the hall. She'll get it. It's probably the Honorable Leander Nolan. He's due for a sitting today. Minnie?
Nolan.
Oh, Bunny. Come on in, Bunny.
I'm sorry, Marion. I can't stay very long, but...
Oh, you know Mr. Fedak, Bunny?
Yes.
Well, you'll have to sit for me, if only for a moment, Bunny. Now, will Fady embarrass you?
As a matter of fact, Marion, I...
Oh, come on, sit down. Go on, sit. The light's getting bad.
Oh, very well.
And we can go on talking while I squeeze my paints. Oh, Fady, guess who telephoned today? I haven't seen him in years. Ask me to dinner.
Could be any one of a thousand of your friends.
Warwick Wilson, the movie star. I think he wants a mention in my biography. Poor old Timpy.
Did you say your biography?
Why, yes, Bunny.
Then this is all true.
What, dear?
This and this magazine.
Now, don't get up, Bunny. Don't disturb your pose. I'll reach for it. Oh, I lost the place. Oh, Oh, dear. Oh, Fady, can you see from there?
Glamorous artist to reveal secrets of royalty in every week.
Oh, dear. It makes me out sort of a female Casanova.
Marion, I...
What's the matter, Bunny? You seem under a strain today.
Can't you manage a little privacy for your sitters, at least? It's like being watched while you're taking a bath.
I'm so sorry, Bunny.
I quite sympathize with Mr. Nolan. Well, I am off, Marion. Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
Goodbye, Mr. Nolan.
No, don't touch him.
Excuse me. Most happy, Mr. Nolan. I'll see you later.
Now then, move ahead just a bit,
Marion, this confounded biography. Are you really writing it?
Well, yes, I am.
What do you intend to tell?
Well, that's like asking me what I've been doing all my life.
When does it start?
With my birth. Coincidence, isn't it?
All the time back home when you were a girl in Knoxville?
Oh, yes, of course. I've had a wonderful time going back over it all.
Everything?
Well, everything I can remember.
Well, do I come into it?
First love, Bunny. How can I possibly leave you out? Why, you started me. See, that's a good idea for a chapter heading, isn't it? Bunny starts me. I must put that down.
Marion, this is no joke. I warn you that...
Warn me? Let me understand you. Are you seriously asking me to give up an opportunity like this just
because... If you're doing this for money, I know you've been pretty hard up. I promise I'll get you commissions enough to more than make up for what you get out of this story. I was talking about you the other day to Orrin.
Orrin?
Orrin Kennicott, Slade's father, my prospective father-in-law. He's a big man, you know. I'm sure I can get him to sit for you.
I'm sorry, the tip isn't big enough.
Marion,
It amuses me to write my life. I will therefore... pass up the pleasure of painting your father-in-law. I will even give up the pleasure of painting you. And we can part friends then, can't we? Goodbye, Bunny.
Marion, you can't send me away like this.
I think it's better we part now while we can still do so with some dignity, shall we?
You don't realize what's involved my entire career, Marion.
Please.
A revelation of this kind coming at this moment might be fatal to my chances for the Senate.
Revelation? You make me feel like... Well, I can't tell you what you make me feel like.
You don't understand. The people I'm depending on to elect me aren't sophisticated people like you or me.
Oh?
Well, what I mean is they're country people, essentially. My future father-in-law is sympathetic to their point of view.
Tell me, your father-in-law, is he the man with the chest expansion?
He's a fine, sturdy man. As you perhaps know, he makes a fetish of exercise.
You see his picture in shorts in the health magazine?
There's no disgrace in that.
Oh, it doesn't shock me, Bunny. I was just identifying him, that's all.
I owe everything to Kennicott. I wouldn't be running for the Senate right now if it weren't for him. I can't risk offending him.
What in heaven's name has happened to you anyway? You used to be quite a nice boy. Even fun occasionally.
Well, maybe if you had stuck to me.
Oh, poor Bunny, I'm sorry for you. I really am.
Don't touch me.
Why, Bunny?
Do you think I'm not human?
Well, of all the contradictory...
I realized the moment I came in here. The moment that I saw you again.
But, Bunny, you're engaged and you're going to be a senator.
Forget it. Forget I ever said. Oh, I wish I'd never come back into your life. This was a terrible mistake. You'd forgotten me.
Oh, you're wrong. First love... One doesn't forget that.
But you did. And if you got the chance, you'd humiliate me again.
It's not a question of pride or vanity between us. We're friends, old friends.
Well, you're saying that to get around me. You were always good at that. But I warn you, Marion. I solemnly warn you.
I never in my life have I seen a man vacillate so much between passion and threat.
I shall find ways to stop you. Mr. Kennicott, my future father-in-law, is a very powerful man.
I know. Extraordinary biceps.
I tell you, this matter is beyond flippancy.
Yes, I can see that now.
Think it over, Marion, and let me know your decision.
Oh, yes, I'll think it over. And I'll give you my answer tomorrow.
Don't let him frighten you, Marion. He can't do anything.
Ah, but evidently Mr. Kennicott can. Oh, Dickie, can it be that I control the election of senators from Tennessee?
What I don't understand is how you could have ever loved a stuffed shirt like that.
Well, he wasn't a stuffed shirt. That's the funny part. How do we all emerge into what we are? Now, how did I emerge from what I was into what I am? I was a tremulous young girl. I was eager, I was naive. And look at me now. Oh, time, Dickie. Now, what will you be at 40? A bondholder and a commuter. Oh, Dickie.
I'll never be 40.
Well, how will you avoid it?
I'll use myself up before I'm 40.
Oh, I don't think so. I sometimes wake up on certain mornings feeling absolutely immortal, indestructible. One is perpetually reborn, I think, Dickie. And everyone should write one's life, I think. Not for publication, but for oneself. A kind of spiritual spring cleaning.
Well, it's easy for anyone who's lived as you have to make romantic generalizations. It's very pleasant for you to believe them. I shan't disillusion you. Why should I? It's not important.
I'd no idea you felt this way about me. You despise me, don't you?
Yes.
Why?
Why did we start this?
All because of my little biography. Seems incredible that anyone would take the trouble
I'd just like to see them try. I'd just like to, that's all.
What would you do?
I'd make the Honorable Nolan the laughingstock of the country and his athletic father-in-law, too. I'd just plaster them, that's what I'd do.
You sound vindictive.
Baby, I am vindictive.
It's funny. I'm just amused.
Amused?
Oh, I'd better get that. It's late. Hello?
May I speak to Mr. Kurt, please?
Oh, it's for you, Dickie.
Who is it?
I don't know. Sounds important.
Yes?
Kurt, this is McNally. I wanted to be sure and catch you tonight.
What's up, Chief?
This biography of Froude's. I want to talk to you about it.
Oh, you do you?
I think we'd better kill it.
I expected that.
Have you talked to Kennicott?
Never met the gentleman.
You will, but don't commit yourself one way or the other till you've talked to me.
Okay, I'll be round first thing in the morning. So long.
I'm sorry, Kurt.
Well, they've begun.
Dickie.
Yes?
As far as my story is concerned, I'll call it a day.
What?
Let's forget all about it, shall we?
Forget? Now, look, if you let me down, I'll hate you.
Dickie. Tell me something. Why won't you tell me about yourself?
For instance...
Well, I don't know anything about you, really. Who do you live with?
I live alone.
Are you in love with anybody?
No.
Where are your parents?
They're dead.
Long?
My mother is. I hardly remember her.
Well, your father. Do you remember your father?
Yes. I remember him, all right.
What did your father do?
He was a coal miner.
Well, won't you tell me about him? I'd like to know.
I was a kid of 14. There was a strike. One day, my father took me out for a walk. Sunny spring morning. We stopped to listen to an organizer. My father was a mild little man with kind of faded, tired blue eyes. We stood on the outskirts of the crowd. My father was holding me by the hand. All of a sudden, some shots rang out and everybody scattered. My father was bewildered. He didn't know which way to turn. A second later, he crumpled down beside me. He was bleeding. He was still holding my hand. He died like that. Well, are there any other glamorous facts of my existence you would like to know?
Oh, you poor boy. I knew there was something. I knew it.
It's trivial, really. Everyone has to die. The point is to have fun while you're alive, isn't it? Well, you managed. I congratulate you.
Dickie, darling, why are you so bitter against me? Why against me?
You want to know that, too? Well, it's because
hush,
I...
Shh, dearest. Hush, don't say any more. Not anymore.
Marion. Oh, Marion. My angel.
Oh, Dickie. Why have you been afraid to love me?
O'clock, Leonard. Still no sign of her. Does she know I'm a busy man?
She's not impressed by busy men, Orrin.
I know these fly-by-night characters. I've dealt with them before. Bad air in this place. Bet she's under exercise.
On the contrary, she's radiantly healthy.
Cosmetics, I bet. These fly-by-night characters...
Why do you keep calling her a fly-by-night character? She's nothing of the sort.
Look here, Leander. I suspect that you are still in love with this woman.
Nonsense.
My daughter feels the same thing.
Slade? You've discussed this with Slade?
She's disgusted with me. She's no fool, that girl. She said, don't stall me, Dad. Come clean. So I told her.
You told her?
Yesterday. Told her it happened 15 years ago, that you were a young fella, didn't know anything about women, were just naturally taken in.
That's not true. I was not taken
in. There you go, defending the woman that's endangering your entire career, using up my energies and
yours. What did Slade say when you told her?
Nothing. You know Slade's not the talking kind, but she'll be all right. All wool in a yard wide, that girl is. But I warn you, Leander, don't tamper with the most precious and rare thing.
Yes,
and,
yes, I know. The point is, what are we going to do?
Of course, I can get that young fellow Kurt fired from his magazine job. But from what you told me, Leander, he's got something up his sleeve.
I'm afraid so.
That's what I want to find out from your lady friend, and I've got a pretty sure idea right now what it is. Money, Leander.
Money?
Blackmail.
You're crazy.
When you know as much about women as I do, you'll know they all have blackmail up their sleeve.
Now, look here,
you listen to me, son. Now, you'd better make up your mind whether you want this blackmail in female or whether you want my daughter. And you'd better make it up right quick.
I resent your tone, Oren. I won't be ordered around as if I were a high-grade servant.
Now, son, when you get control of your temper and cool down a little bit, you'll see that my ordering hasn't been so bad for you. In fact,
Shh, now, quiet. There's someone at the door.
You were mighty successful as a lawyer, I acknowledge. But in politics... Oh, where is that maid, anyhow?
Well, she's a little deaf. Maybe I better answer it.
Hello, Leander.
Slade.
What are you two looking so foolish about? Hello, Dad.
Daughter, what are you doing here?
Came to have my picture painted. What are you?
Your coming here at this time is most inopportune, Slade. We are here on business.
I can imagine.
I'm very glad you came, Slade. I want you to meet the woman that your father has just been accusing of the most reprehensible crime.
I'm pretty anxious to get a load of her myself. Say, it's a nice layout. Wish I were artistic. What a lucky gal. Paintbrush and an easel, and she can set up shop anywhere in the world. That's independence for
Slade,
you.
Slade, this is no time. Please leave before she comes.
Not I. Just my luck, when the story's going to come out which has something in it I want to read, you two killjoys are going to suppress it.
This isn't exactly a joke, you know, Slade.
I mean it. At least I hope you'll buy the manuscript.
I've spoiled you, Slade. I've been too easy with you.
But I'm curious, Father. Can't you understand that? I want to find out what Leander was like before he became ambitious.
Slade!
This story might hurt you with the voters in Tennessee, Leander, but it's given me a kick out of you. I didn't know it was there.
Indeed?
Yes, indeed.
Well, if your interest in me requires the artificial stimulus of an episode that happened 20 years ago...
It certainly requires something.
Does it?
No, children.
We're not children. And if it's as bad as that, then I think perhaps we both better...
Call it a day. Father, Leander's giving your daughter the air. Do something.
Well, I don't blame him for being irritated. You should not be here. Please go home.
In a moment. Are we no longer engaged, Leander?
That is not for me to say.
Gentlemen to the last. At the very
moment... Slade, you're talking too much! Shut up!
Just at the very moment when I was saying to myself, well, if a brilliant and beautiful woman who's played footsie with royalty in the capitals of the world loved him... Maybe there's a secret charm in him that I have overlooked. Just when I... Oh, that must be my rival.
Good evening, Minnie.
Good evening, Herr Kurt.
Well, gentlemen, I can't honestly say I'm surprised to see you here.
Mr. Kurt, allow me to...
I can guess who it is and why you're here. Having failed to intimidate me, you are here to intimidate Miss Froude. Well, I can advise you that you will fail with her, too.
Why doesn't somebody introduce me to this interesting young man?
He may be interesting, but he's a very foolish young man.
Possibly, but if you ask me, I think you're being foolish.
Are we? How do you figure that, young man?
Yes, how?
Oh, hush your mouth.
Because I'm going to publish Miss Froude's book myself, and I promise you it'll be the best advertised first book that's come out in a long time.
Good.
Will you send me the advance sheets? I'll make it worth your while, Mr. Kurt.
I can see you're an extremely impulsive young man.
You can.
Have you ever inquired, may I ask?
Look out, Richard. This is going to be dangerous.
Have you inquired into the penalties for libel, Mr. Kurt?
Sue your heads off. I promise the two of you I'll give you the fight of your lives.
Good for you, Richard. Well, how nice. I'm sorry to be late.
Marion, this chivalrous gentleman has just been proposing to sue you for libel. He considers...
Give me a chance to greet my guest, Dickie.
I'm Slade Kennicott, Miss Froude.
Well, how very nice of you to come. Is this Mr. Kennicott?
My pleasure, ma'am.
Well, I'm so glad to see you. Hello, Bunny.
Grief, Bunny.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Leander.
Well, that's all right, Marion.
Now, Dickie, what's all this about a libel suit? Whom have I defamed?
The Honorable Mr. Nolan.
Oh, have I? Oh, I'm tired. Sit by me, won't you, Miss Kennicott?
Thanks.
Well, you're very pretty.
Thanks.
Bunny, I congratulate you. If Bunny lets me, I'd like to paint you, Miss Kennicott.
You're very lovely.
Well, thank you, my dear.
I can't tell you how curious I've been about you.
Oh, really? How nice.
Yes, you
see...
This
is all very well, but I'm a very busy man.
You know, Mr. Kennicott, it seems so strange to see you with all your clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
What a pity. As an artist, I must say it seems a pity to conceal that wonderful chest development that I've admired so often in Body Beautiful.
That's neither here nor there.
Oh, it seems to me that it's decidedly there.
Slade, you've upset everything by coming here.
No, it's my fault. I've wandered from the subject, I'm afraid. Now, what was it?
A libel suit.
Oh, yes. Now then, what's it about?
The Honorable Nolan is going to sue you for libel.
I'll punch your head if you say that again.
On the assumption that when you say in your story that you and he were in love, you were lying and defaming his character.
Oh, Bunny. Oh, you must want to be a senator very, very badly.
I never said it, I tell you. It wasn't my idea.
Well, as a matter of fact, how could I prove it? Did you ever write to me, Bunny?
I don't remember.
I don't know why it is that the things one writes when one is young sound so foolish afterwards. Has that ever occurred to you, Mr. Kennicott?
I don't admit the fact.
No?
I was looking over some old editorials of mine, and they're just as apropos today as when they were written. I haven't changed my ideas in 25 years.
How very steadfast. Now, if the world were equally changeless, how consistent that would make you.
As I said before, this is getting us nowhere. Now, don't you think, Miss Froude, that the only way we can settle this is by ourselves? I can see you're a sensible woman.
Oh. You don't have to talk to him at all if you don't want to, Marion.
Oh, but I'd love to. I've always wanted to meet Mr. Kennicott. I tell you, why don't you all wait in my bedroom? It's fairly tidy, I think.
Why don't you take me for a walk, Dickie?
Oh, yes, do that, Dickie. A walk will do you good.
But, Marion, I...
Hmm?
All right. Come on.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye, Dad.
Now, Mr. Kennicott.
You won't mind if I speak very frankly to you, Miss Froude.
Oh, not at all.
Well, Miss Froude...
Call me Marion. Everybody does.
Thanks. Call me Orin.
All right. I'll try. Orin fits you. Strong, rugged strength.
Thank you. I was going to say, you're not at all what I expected to meet, Marion.
Oh, well, tell me all about it. I'd love to know.
Well, you're kind of homey, you know, folksy.
Well, I am just a small-town girl from Tennessee. I sometimes wonder at myself how I ever got so far away.
Metabolism.
I beg your pardon?
I always say take most of the bad men and most of the loose women, correct their metabolism, and you correct them.
Oh, that's... very interesting. Have you ever written anything about that?
I'm considering it right now.
Oh, I do wish you would. Well, I get so impatient of myself sometimes, of my physical limitations. Well, my mind is seething with ideas, but I haven't the physical energy to go on working. Now, why is that, Mr. Kennicott?
Defective
metabolism.
tell me.
What?
Do you eat enough roughage?
I don't know. Offhand. Well, as I say, Orin, one is so ignorant of these fundamental things.
Well, I can see this, Marion. If you'd met me instead of Leander when you were a young girl, you'd have been a different woman.
Oh, I'm sure I would.
And it's, not too late.
Oh, really?
what are you doing tomorrow evening?
Why, I'm free.
Will you have dinner with me?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
Fine, then we can go over this little matter quietly, make a friendly adjustment.
Oh, what fun. Oh, yes.
Here's my card with the address. It's Roof Apartments. I'm a widower.
Irresistible combination.
Till tomorrow then, dear lady.
Till tomorrow. Dickie, that Oren, it's too good to be true.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Kennicott, he's the quaintest man I ever met in my life.
He may be quaint to you, but to me he's a putrescent old hypocrite.
Oh, you're so merciless in your judgments, Dickie. I adore you and love you, but I'd hate to live in a country where you were dictator.
I don't understand you. These people insult you, flout you in every way, and you're amused, always amused.
Yes, I am amused.
Temporizing with those... I just don't understand you, Mary.
Well, of course you don't. That's the difference, or one of the differences between 25 and 35.
If the time ever comes when I'm amused by what I should hate, I hope somebody shoots me. What did you tell Kennicott?
Oh, nothing. Simply nothing. He gave me health hints.
Health hints?
Well, I saw no point in having a scene with him.
What the devil are you afraid of, anyway? I had a scene in the office today, and I was prepared for one here till you let me down.
Prepared? I think you were eager.
Well, what if I was? It's in your behalf, isn't it?
Ah, but you forget, Dickie. You're a born martyr. I'm not. As a matter of fact, Dickie, why do you insist on forcing through this silly little biography of mine? Wouldn't it be better for all concerned to give it up?
Marion, you'd give it up?
Why not?
After all this, after all I've risked for... Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Then you could marry Nolan and live happily forever after and be amused. Goodbye, and this time I mean it.
Oh, Dickie! Oh, poor darling. Oh, poor boy.
Hello, Marion.
Oh, hello, Bunny, dear.
Excuse me for rushing in on you like this.
It's all right. I've been expecting you.
I must have known. I must have felt it. What would happen, Marion?
Bunny, dear, you're all worked up.
Marion, I've done it.
Done what?
Broken with Slade. Broken with Kennicott. Broken with all of them.
Oh, Bunny.
When Oren told me what you'd done, that you were going to give up the story.
He
said that he was sure that he could get you to do it. Well, it all came over me. Your generosity, your wonderful generosity.
Oh, Bunny.
I saw then that all this, what I'd been telling myself that I wanted, Slade, a senatorship, all of it, that I didn't want it, that I wasn't up to it, that I was scared to death of it. I told Slade.
You told her?
Yes.
What did she say?
She said she knew it. She's clever, that girl. She's cleverer than I am, even cleverer than you. I'm afraid of her cleverness. I'm uncomfortable with it. It's you I love, Marion. I mean, I want to marry you.
Well, I'm terribly touched by this, Bunny, darling, but I can't marry you.
Why not?
If I married you, it would be for the wrong reasons. And besides, I think you're wrong about Slade. She's very nice, you know. It's her manner that shocks you. If you really understood me, I'd shock you a great deal more, Bunny.
I'd risk it. Marion, my dearest Marion, won't you give me some hope?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bunny, but you see, I'm in love. I'm in love with Dickie.
Oh, I see. Are you going to marry him?
No.
You... Anybody else but him. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Marion. No, it's funny, isn't it? Oh. It's a joke, isn't it?
Oh, I'm terribly fond of you, Bunny. I always will be. That kind of tenderness outlasts many things.
I'll go on, I suppose.
Oh, of course you will. Goodbye, Bunny, dear.
Goodbye, Marion.
Oh, and Bunny.
Yes?
Will you please tell Mr. Kennicott for me that... Well, that I've been called out of town suddenly and can't dine with him tomorrow night. You will see him, won't you?
Yes. Yes, I'll see him.
Dickie.
Please, forgive me, Marion. Please.
Come. Come in, Dickie. Over here. Sit down here beside me, dear.
These moods come over me. I can't control myself. Marion, it's because I love you so much. I can't bear to think of...
I know, dear, I know.
I'm torn up all the time, torn to bits.
I know, dear, it...
If we could only go away together. Just the two of us, somewhere away from people, by ourselves.
Well, why not, Dickie? We can go now if you want to.
Oh, it's a crazy dream. How can we possibly leave now? With the book coming out and...
Dickie, I must tell you...
What?
You must be patient. You must try to understand my point of view.
What do you mean?
I've destroyed the book, Dickie.
Destroyed it?
Yes, I'm sorry. It seemed the simple thing to do, the inevitable thing.
What about me? You might have consulted me after what I went
I'm
through.
I'm terribly sorry, but I couldn't possibly have published that book.
But why? Why?
All those people, Dickie. Poor Bunny. That ridiculous old Kennicott. To you, these rather ineffectual, blundering people symbolizes the forces that have hurt you, and you hate them. But I don't hate them. I can't hate them.
I see now why everything is this way. Why the injustice and cruelty go on year after year, century after century, without change. Because as they become older, people become tolerant. Things amuse them. Well, I hate you, and I hate your tolerance. I always did.
I know you do. You hate my essential quality, the thing that's me. That's what I was thinking just now, and that's what makes me sad.
Well, there's nothing more to be said, is there?
I suppose not. Won't you kiss me goodbye?
Marion.
Oh, darling, I'd try to change you. I know I would, Dickie, and if I changed you, I'd destroy what makes me love you.
Marion.
Goodbye, my darling. Goodbye, my dearest. Dearest.
Marion.
Yes, Minnie.
Something is wrong?
Oh, no, Minnie. I'm all right.
I think maybe the telegram bring you bad news.
Telegram? What telegram?
The telegram I put on your table here.
Oh, but I didn't even...
Bad news?
Oh, this is from heaven. Oh, Minnie, I want you to pack right away. We're leaving.
Leaving? When?
Right away. Tonight. This is from Fady. Oh, listen, Minnie. Yeah. Can get you commissioned to paint Academy Award winners in Hollywood. Wire answer at once. Oh, pack everything, Minnie. I want to get out of here right away.
You do not think you better wait till tomorrow?
Oh, no, Minnie. Once the temptation to a journey comes into my head, I can't bear it till I'm on the way. This time we'll have a real trip, Minnie. From Hollywood, we'll go to Honolulu, and from there to Siam. How would you like that, Minnie?
Fine. That crazy court, he goes with us.
No, Minnie. No one. We travel alone.